This is Radio Boston. I'm Carrie Young, in for Tiziana Deering. It's Friday, so we take some time to dive beneath the headlines on one of the biggest stories of the week. And this week, it's education. A busy week for Boston Public Schools, starting with an 11th-hour agreement with state officials to stave off direct state intervention.
It's the mayor we need to thank. She took personal responsibility for the functioning of the school system.
That was Massachusetts Education Commissioner Jeff Riley there. Now, that agreement prevented a state takeover, as well as some other levels of state control in the district for now. For Boston Teachers Union President Jessica Tang, it's something that should never have even been considered.
I'm disappointed because these threats should never have been on the table in the first place.
On top of all of that, school committee members chose a new leader for BPS on Wednesday. Mary Skipper says she's ready to get to work on some of the fundamental services that BPS provides, like transportation, safe buildings, proper learning materials, and teacher training.
Those are all of the things that help our staff and our community feel ready and trustworthy in the work that we do. So that's going to be the priority. It won't be shiny and it won't be sexy, but it will be foundational and it will make a difference to students.
There's a lot to unpack, so let's get to it. And here to help us with that is Paul Revel. He has served as the Massachusetts Secretary of Education under Governor Deval Patrick, and he's now a professor at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Paul, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be with you.
So like I said, there is a lot to unpack this morning in the district. So I want you to weigh in first. What are the biggest, or what is the biggest of these two headlines?
Well, I think the biggest of the headlines is we have a new leader. We have a very distinguished education leader with a very solid track record, particularly on equity issues and on issues of teaching and learning. You know, she's a compassionate, experienced, seasoned, committed veteran who knows how to get things done. She has spent a great deal of time in the Boston Public Schools, so she's got a deep network of relationships. And she's going to lead us into the next chapter, which will include dealing with this new agreement with the state and, most importantly, attending to the whole series of problems that have been beleaguering the Boston Public Schools for some while and beginning to make progress in solving those problems and doing better by our children.
I want to talk about that agreement, too, that the avoidance of the state takeover, receivership, all of that. So can you talk to me first a little bit about the relationship between BPS and the State Board of Education especially? What are the dynamics at play there?
Well, the State Board of Education has a responsibility to oversee schools and districts and to deal with chronic underperformance. And I think the state justifiably had ongoing concerns about Boston. The threat of a takeover, I think, was somewhat exaggerated in the hope of pressuring Boston into signing an agreement. I'm not sure that there was really the votes were really there on the state board to take over the Boston Public Schools, but there was certainly an expression of urgency and concern. The state had issued a report pre-COVID, and not much progress has been made relative to that report. Some progress. They issued a second report just recently. I think the state saw the opportunity to put some pressure on Boston at the time a new leader was in place, both in the mayor's office and in the superintendent's office, to try and get a very clear agenda. So I think the new agreement, while I'm disappointed with it as a whole because it's less of a partnership between the state and the local school district than I had hoped to see, it is a set of targets. It's, in my view, kind of a compliance agreement that sets some targets. They're legitimate targets. They're things that need to be done, and sets a period of time in which those targets need to be met, and creates at least the foundation for what I hope, under the leadership of Mary Skipper and Jeff Riley, who know one another and have worked together actually in the Boston Public Schools, as they develop that relationship around those targets, they can in fact build a genuine partnership, because it's going to take all hands on deck to solve the problems. The problems that have been described in the Boston Public Schools are not simple. They're deep, they're longstanding, and they're complex. And we're going to need really the whole community to come to the table. So a vast array of partnerships, but it starts with the state and the local district working together.
Well, given the complexity of some of these issues and also having targets and goals they have to meet, there is a timeline around that. Do you think it is doable? Is the timeline too short? What's your thoughts there?
Well, I think you have to take it item by item. Some of them, I think, are probably reaching and maybe not so realistic. I mean, a 99% on-time rate for the buses when the school district has struggled mightily with transportation for years now, even pre-COVID, now post-COVID, we have staff shortages. And so getting that in place on time relative to this, I think, is a bit of a stretch. I think there's some other things like that in there. But I also think that top leaders will find a way to negotiate. The district and the state are going to be meeting on a regular basis. You know, the mayor has taken substantial responsibility for what's going to happen here, so she's going to bring city resources to bear. There's a good deal of talk about creating a children's cabinet to bring all those agencies, organizations, and individuals who care about children's well-being to the table. So I think it's good to have the pressure of timelines, and at the same time, an agreement like this is going to require some flexibility and adaptability in terms of its implementation.
Right. It sounds like Riley does have a good amount of faith in Mayor Wu. It sounds like you would agree with that. Am I right?
Well, I think they're in the early stages of forming a relationship, and I think they haven't had that much time together. The negotiations around this agreement, I think, have been strained at times. And so now that an agreement has been formalized, I think both parties want the best for kids in the Boston Public Schools. So I think they've both committed to building a better, stronger partnership kind of relationship going forward. Getting a new superintendent in place was the first step. That's a big first step. I mean, I think we're on the threshold of what could be a bright new chapter for the Boston Public Schools. And gosh knows, we desperately need that. But it's going to take strong working relationships between the key partners here, starting with the mayor, the state commissioner, and the superintendent of schools.
So we also spoke with a teacher earlier this morning, Nima Avashia. She is a middle school teacher at BPS. Mm-hmm. And she told us that she is feeling cautiously optimistic this week after a tumultuous couple of years for the district.
I think actually for the first time in a long time, instead of feeling like there are all these like axes hanging over our heads, it actually feels like things maybe can settle a little bit and we can actually focus on doing the work.
So based on what you just said, Paul, it does sound like you're optimistic about what's to come too.
I think I'm in the same camp. I think there's, you know, in every crisis, there's an opportunity. Here, there's a big opportunity. And taking advantage of the opportunity is really the charge for leadership. I think we've got three terrific leaders in place in the key seats that I was just talking about. We've got a new visionary mayor with a big popular mandate behind her. We've got a superintendent of schools who's got deep experience as a superintendent and knows at the same time the Boston Public Schools intimately and has had great success in her career as an educator. And we've got Jeff Riley, who's a first-rate commissioner. He has got a reputation, worked deeply in Lawrence as the receiver up and superintendent up there. He knows the Boston Public Schools well, and they all care deeply about children. I mean, the commissioner and the mayor both have children in the public schools. The superintendent has had in the past and has spent her career there. So I think we're off to a very good start. So there's every reason to be optimistic. There are lots of pitfalls because these are complicated, difficult problems, and they require lots of cooperation from all kinds of formal government bodies and then groups and organizations in town who have to agree to kind of check our swords and shields at the door, whatever feelings we have about what's happened in the recent past. We've got to set them aside and figure out what do we want to achieve for children. And I think that's fairly obvious. We want to educate them so that they can, they can be good citizens and leaders, so that they can be employees and work and support themselves in a high knowledge, high skill economy. They can be fulfilled individuals and lifelong learners. And then figure out how do we do that? And where have we gone wrong? What's getting in the way of our doing a better job with our English language learners.
Well, I want to jump off of that point, too, of the what have we learned so far. Again, when we talked to Nima this morning, she mentioned the high level of turnover in Boston. And I'm curious, you know, even in just my tenure here in the Massachusetts area, I've seen three different superintendents. And so here are the concerns Nima had in her words.
Every incoming superintendent talks about trust, but then, like, I have been in Boston since 2003, and I'm pretty sure I've had 9 different people in the superintendent position since I started working in this district. Fundamentally, there's not going to be trust when we have that level of turn. It's not possible. Trust requires longstanding relationships, and those relationships get formed over time. It can't be like I had one interaction with you and now I trust you.
And quickly, Paul, why do you think there's so much turnover in this position?
Well, it's endemic. It's national. I just went to a conference a couple of weeks ago about the imperiled superintendency and the fact that there's a 25% annual turnover rate in superintendencies, up from 13%, and at a level of about 30 to 35% in urban districts. So it's not unique to Boston. These are getting to be tougher and tougher positions to lead from, especially during the time of the pandemic. But having said that, getting a leader like Mary Skipper, who is known for long-term commitment, and I just predict Mary's going to be a superintendent who will last longer than, for example, either of the last two incumbents in that position, because she's got deep roots in this community. It's her community. It's her school system. She's spent the bulk of her career there, and she's got the relationships. And as Nima said, it's all about relationships making this happen. It's about trust building. And the good thing that Mary brings, and one of the things that the search committee was looking for, were people who not only knew Boston, but were known in Boston. So they had those relationships as a starting point. So
which I think is something that the other superintendents that have come in didn't necessarily have the advantage of, Brenda Caselius and Tommy Chang. That's a really good point. Okay.
Yeah, through no fault of their own. And they both made very strong efforts and committed deeply to work and made progress. But it's easier if you have that network of relationships and that trust. And I think Mary starts with that.
We're talking to Paul Revel, former Massachusetts Secretary of Education under Governor Deval Patrick. Okay, Paul, stay with us. We're going to bring you back in the conversation. But I do want to bring in one other voice to the conversation just briefly. Ruby Reyes is the director of Boston Education Justice Alliance, or BEJA, which is a community education advocacy group. Hey, Ruby, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thank you for having me and making space for this important conversation.
Well, I want to start first by just having you reflect on what you've heard so far in this conversation and just the big week we've had.
We've had a huge week. I guess for me, some reflections around some of the things that I heard is just really, pushing forth the idea that it isn't just about these folks. It's really about, I think, the receivership issue, about families and school communities really just coming together to fight for a seat at the decision-making table and their voices being there. So I really want to highlight that. Because I think that I haven't, those are the pieces that are missing in terms of kind of these issues is families and school communities who are directly impacted by all of these decisions that are being made for them, about them, without them, have really just galvanized and come together to really fight to say that they want their public schools and they want to have a seat at the decision-making table. So I really think that that's one of the most beautiful parts of what has, I guess, come out of all of these really stressful times.
Well, and I know there were two areas that the state flagged as concerning when it came to that discussion of state takeover or state involvement. And those two areas of concern were special education services and services for English learners. So given that we have new leadership at BPS, what do you think Skipper should be doing or start to do to help address those concerns?
Well, I think with special education, we're at such a point where families are just so desperate for services and needs. And there's been so much turnover in central office staffing around actually knowing you know, supports and resources for families that are entitled to these services. I would hope that Superintendent Skipper would really look into building that level of infrastructure that's sorely missing for families in terms of processes and procedures for when families, require these resources and making sure that they're effectively given. I will say that I have a lot of concerns around some of the things that Mary Skipper shared in her interviews around like native language literacy and English learners. There was moments where, one of our school committee members brought up the LOOK Act in terms of native language literacy, and Skipper's response was that if this is something the community wanted, yes, she would, definitely be committed to it. And for me, it was kind of a red flag, because it's a state law. It's not something the community wants. It is a state law. I think I'm very cautiously, concerned and definitely, vigilant around how Superintendent Skipper will start to address some of the needs around these specific areas.
That's Ruby Reyes, director of Boston Education Justice Alliance, a community education advocacy group. Ruby, thank you so much for joining this conversation today.
Thank you.
Now, Paul, quickly, I want to return to you. In your view, what is the most important thing for BPS to focus on moving forward?
I think it's strategy. We've done a good job diagnostically of identifying the problems. Now it's a question of what do we do? What do we do Monday morning to begin to solve these problems? And agreeing on a set of strategies that work for kids and work for the professionals who are charged with implementing them, and that makes sense, as Ruby said, to families in the community.
All right, that's Paul Revel, former Massachusetts Secretary of Education, now a professor at Harvard Graduate School of Education. Paul, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Good to be with you.